Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. My job right now is not to mess up what we have going on here this morning. This has been pretty special. There's nothing that takes your heart back like music. To hear you guys sing and to hear those songs, it doesn't just take my mind back, it takes my heart back. And this is a special morning, maybe a little bit more special. You know, we've been through a few Heritage Sundays. Back in the day, they were Heart Sundays, Pastor. Remember Heart Sundays? We would put a puzzle in the shape of a heart up here in front of the church, and every Sunday school class in the church had a piece of that puzzle, and connected to the piece of that puzzle was a number of people in your class. And the goal was that your class was to have as many people or more people in your classroom on that Sunday morning that were on the piece of your puzzle. And if there were more people there, you could put your puzzle, your piece in the piece of the heart. And the goal was, let's not break the church's heart. Maybe it's a little cheesy, I'm not sure. But what it really did is it reflected Pastor Altizer's heart, who, if I heard him say it once, I heard him say it a million times, that we want to reach the community of Simpsonville for Christ. And so he created that so that we could get people in this church on a Sunday morning to hear the gospel, to hear what we just sang about, that we can sing hallelujah because death is overcome. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. That's what we're doing this morning. Andrew asked me a couple of weeks ago if I would share my story on this morning. The end of the story is that at the beginning of it, there's no way in the world that I ever anticipated standing in front of a church on a Sunday morning in 2019 to present a message. But Calvary is where my wife Michelle and I have grown up, quite literally. We were a dating couple when we started coming here. I was in school with Rick. We were in a prayer meeting together. He started sharing prayer requests about this church that his father was starting out in Simpsonville. Somewhere along the way, Michelle and I started coming. There's a debate. We disagree as to when we started coming. I say we started coming before she got out of school. She says we started coming after she got out of school, so that means we probably started coming after she got out of school. And this place, in its different forms, from Curtis Street to what is now called Altizer Hall, to this auditorium here, and the other rooms on this campus, and the people, have been the most consistent source of spiritual influence and growth in our adult lives. There have been incredible times where we have been surrounded by friends, and supported by friends, and influenced just to grow in our walk with the Lord. There have honestly been some hard times, truthfully. Sometimes where in spite of everyone that we're surrounded by, there's times of loneliness or fear or frustration, times of just being plain tired, when quite honestly, times when it's like, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm tired of doing that. And you just want to quit. In other words, church life is real life, but God has been faithful. And so what I want to do this morning in the time that we have is praise him for that through kind of our story a little bit. But if we will, in Joshua chapter 4, I want to read verse 1, and then we're going to jump down to verse 19. So Joshua has just led in this story, Joshua has just led the children of Israel across the Jordan River, and God has made it so that they could cross on dry land. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says this: "Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.'" And then if you'll jump to the end of the chapter, starting in verse 19. "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And so what I want to do this morning is, if I can, kind of put my 12 stones of memorial down and just praise God for what he's done in our lives over these last 30 plus years. But before we get all the way into it, I'd ask if we could stop and pray again and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, this morning we pray that above all, that the name of Jesus Christ would be exalted. This is not about people. This is not about a place. This is about you, and we pray that in everything that we do and say, that you will get the credit and the glory and the praise. Lord, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would be active in our hearts as we read from your word and as we share testimonies of what you have done. I pray that you would help me to communicate very clearly what you have for us this morning in a way that gets me absolutely out of the way and exalts the name of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. So just by way of story, as I said, Michelle and I started coming here before we were even married. And we started as what I would call attenders. We would show up at the time, I think I was still in school, and would go to church with my parents on Sunday morning. We'd come on Sunday nights. As Michelle graduated and we started coming here a little bit more regularly, we started showing up on Sunday mornings, and just we're fairly regular attenders. And this was our church because this is where we came, but we had what I will call a moment on a Sunday morning that was really potentially one of the most important mornings we ever had in our involvement here at Calvary. And it was simple. We were in the building on Curtis Street, packed to the gills, as some of you, I see some familiar faces who were in there shoulder to shoulder. And in a Sunday morning service, Pastor Altizer said, I need a couple of people who can head downstairs and help with their children's ministry this morning. And Michelle and I looked at each other, you know, a little glance, a little shrug of the shoulders, and was like, okay, raised our hand. And he said, thanks, and we walked out. At that time, the doors to go downstairs were behind the platform, so we walked down those very steep stairs and headed down, and I think met the McCullers back there, and one of the Hall brothers met down there. Your mom helped with all of that. And we started teaching this primary Sunday school class. And I say that was an important morning because we sat in church, and the Holy Spirit asked us to do something, and we just said yes. And it was something really simple. But we said yes to it. And we went, and for the next period of years, we were teaching children's church, and we were really bad at it. But we did it. And it evolved into, we started doing from the Sunday school primary kid ministry into, next thing we knew, we were helping with the children's church that was going on during the service. And so now our Sunday mornings were filled with, you know, this activity during the service. And so we were very involved in the church. But the reality is, this involvement fit really nicely into our lives. We could come on Sunday mornings. We could, you know, feel good because we're teaching a children's class. And then we're going to another one and we're really busy. But then on Sunday evenings, if we just had something else we felt like doing, we, you know, a little tired or whatever. So we were involved, but it was a level of involvement that was fairly comfortable. And it fit nicely into our lives. Well, as happens, if you're involved in ministry and you're doing something somewhere along the way, someone will come and say, hey, you know what else you could do? And we had a friend who came and did that and said, Pastor Tom Craig, is looking for another couple to help in the youth ministry, and I wonder if you guys would be interested in trying that out. And we're like, well, we're really bad at what we're doing. So maybe we'd be better at that. And so we said, sure, we'll give it a shot. And so we started going to the youth group and meeting with Pastor Tom and understanding what that was really going to be about. And I remember another, again, a pivotal moment in terms of understanding what it was like to be involved in a ministry, to take the next step of actually being committed to that ministry and truly serving. And you can see there's a difference. And the difference revealed to us was early in our time with the youth group, as youth staff is what we were called, there was an activity that was coming up. And that activity on the weekend, a Friday night, Saturday night, I don't remember what night or when, what it even was, but it happened to be on a weekend that we were already kind of thinking about doing something else. And it came, and we decided to do the other thing that we were thinking about doing. I don't even remember what it was. But we went to that, and when we came back and our group got together the next time, I realized that everyone else on the youth staff like went to the activity because they were on the youth staff. And it was this light bulb moment like, oh, these people are like making this a priority. They're making their plans fit around this service ministry to these teenagers. And it doesn't seem like it should be a revelation, right? It sounds really stupid when I say it out loud. But it was this revelation that's like service takes place on someone else's schedule. Service takes place when someone else has a need. Service occurs when you meet people where they are. And you can be involved and you can participate in a ministry and not really love people. You just kind of there. It can be more about you than it is about them. But it's really hard to truly serve people without loving people. And that was a period of growth for us when we started to understand what that was. And started to not just understand what it was, but started to adjust our lives. Started to change our priorities. Started to do things differently than we had done them before. Started to think about things differently than we had done them before. And it also, it exposed us to a time of discipleship and mentorship in our lives in a way that is invaluable. I will forever be grateful for the investment that not just Pastor Tom, who passed away 4 years ago and was a dear, dear friend and an incredibly important person in my life, but not just him, but the other relationships that we developed in that time of ministry where we just spent so much time together as couples, praying for these teenagers and visiting these teenagers and playing stupid games with these teenagers, but just investing in their lives. And this transition in our hearts happened not because of anything amazing that we did, but just we said yes to the next thing, and God used it to grow us. And so we did that for 8 or 9 years. And for those of you who know Tom, know that he, at that point, just this was the way he was. He said, you've done a fine job with this, but I think you can do more. So he stood behind us and he put his hands in our back and he pushed us and stretched us to do more than that. And at the time, I think Rick Altizer had been teaching a combined college and career class, and they were going to split that up. And Tom said, I think you guys need to take that college class and start to teach that. And so that was presented to us. And at this point, we're in our early 30s. We have a daughter who is 6, a son who is 3, and another son who is 6 months old. I'm probably working 60 hours a week. And I remember that he was 6 months old because in this building over here, to meet, we had just bought the building where the offices are now. And our Sunday school classroom was going to be in there. And to get it ready, we had to go in and paint our room so that we'd be ready the next Sunday. And I remember Creed was in a car seat, and we had to put him in a different room because we didn't want him inhaling the paint fumes while we're doing this. So I remember when we started that, which as a weird side note, he's actually older now than I was when we started coming to Calvary. But here we are, you know, the perfect life stage of life, not busy at all, to take on this college ministry. You know, I'm not a Bible scholar, I'm not a teacher, and all of a sudden I'm going to be teaching. I'm a CPA, that's who you want in front of you, teaching, right? My wife, her marketing degree, I'm sure adequately prepared her to be a mentor and an advisor to a bunch of college girls. And so we're both appropriately overwhelmed at what is in front of us. But again, we were encouraged, we were pushed, we were prodded, and we were stretched. And for 12 years, every Sunday and every Wednesday night, I'd stand up in front of these college kids and do my best to teach them God's word. And we would try to plan activities, and we would try to get into their lives, and we would try to develop relationships and meet and just try to figure out where they were and meet them where they are. And that that teaching ministry has evolved to today. We're now involved in what's called the Covenant Keepers class. Can be referred to as young married. Some of them have been around long enough that young married is a term they would really celebrate. But just an amazing group of families in that class that we have the privilege to work with. And God has really allowed our hearts to love them. And it is just such a joy and a privilege to be with them. They're such a great group of people in this church and an important part of this church. And there are times, even in that, when we probably more often than not, we look at each other and we say, we're really not very good at this, but they haven't kicked us out yet. And we probably are frustrated by the things we don't do well more often than we celebrate the things that maybe we do well. But we have a confidence that God has called us to do what we're doing, and he's put us there. And while I was working on this lesson and this section specifically, I had music playing because I'm actually sitting at my dining room table and there's stuff going all around, so I just put in earphones and drown out the family and the noise doing that. And right as I was right here, this came on. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his faithful mercies who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed the mortal, wings its flight through realms of day, this my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. And so this morning, this whole conversation, this story, isn't in any way a look what we've done over 30 years. This is to God be the glory, great things he has done. And this is also this. Somewhere in here this morning is a young family, and God is asking you to say yes to something really simple. And you're struggling with it because work is hard and stressful, and you've got kids, and it's hard and stressful, and you're not even qualified to do what he is asking you to do. And you've got limits, and but the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, and you're scared because you don't think that whatever you have is enough. But hear this clearly. If you let him, God will use the ministry of this body of believers to grow you in ways that you can only begin to imagine. And maybe you're not a young couple. Maybe your limiter, the thing that limits you when God asks you to do something, is that you're exactly the opposite. Maybe you think, you know what? I should have done that sooner, but now my time is past. And I have missed my chance. But whoever you are and whatever your situation is, I am begging you to believe that God has something for you to do, and you will grow closer to him in doing it. And you have absolutely no idea how God wants to use you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, it says, faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. And that's part of my testimony this morning, is that he will do it. And so that's a little bit of a, of a look back. I want to look back so that we can look forward, because in Joshua, that's what happened. They looked back at what God had done so that in verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So they look back so that present tense, the earth may know the hand of the Lord is mighty. Future tense, we may fear the Lord our God forever. So we look back so that we can look forward. And as we look forward to Calvary, here's where I want to look forward. I would love for the people that come in contact with the ministry of Calvary and the people of Calvary to be able to say over and over and over and over again, those people at Calvary, they love God, and they just love people. They absolutely love people. Our theme right now is that Calvary is a place to belong. And what makes a person feel like they belong somewhere is then when they walk in the door and they're just welcomed and they can feel that they are loved, they start to feel like they belong. But you want to take it a little bit further. A person belongs, truly feels like they belong, when they aren't just loved, but when they're fully known and still genuinely and completely loved. Most of us are afraid to be fully known, because we think if I'm fully known, I'm not going to be genuinely and completely loved. But we can look at God's example in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were fully and completely known in everything that is ugly and broken, Christ died for us. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 7 through 11 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And see, if Calvary is going to be a place where people belong, Calvary has to be a place where we love each other, where we can be fully, safely known and still continue to love each other. We have to love people enough to meet them where they are, and that's really our starting point. This building that we're in this morning, this is an amazing facility, really. We were in a pretty nice building before we built this building. We have actually a church campus. You have to call it a campus because we have multiple buildings. We have a gym. We have playgrounds. We have fields. We have this pastoral staff that is not just dedicated, but they're talented and they're highly trained. We have musicians, we have programs. The things that we have here at Calvary would be the envy of many churches around the nation, really. And you expand it to around the world, probably, you know, the number grows exponentially if you start to do that. And all that's amazing, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And so the challenge, yes, is there's going to be a challenge here that we need to serve and we need to reach out, but we absolutely have to be motivated by love in what we do. Does love define us? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Does that define us? And if it doesn't, here's what we need to do. If we want to truly love like Christ, we have to be conformed to the image of Christ. And being conformed to the image of Christ is not the work of man. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, the first one is love. goes on, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But the very first one listed, the fruit of the Spirit, is love. And so we are a loving church when we as individuals are loving people, and we're loving people when we're walking in the Holy Spirit. See, we can't be loving if I'm not loving, because now I've broken up the we part of that, right? If you're loving and I'm not, we're not loving. Or if I'm loving and you're not, then we're not loving. So if we as a body are going to be known for our love for God and our love for people, then we as individuals have to be walking in the Spirit and filled with the love that He gives to us. So today, we can celebrate what God has done. We can celebrate what God is doing. And we can celebrate what God will do. Because when we look back and we look at today and we look to the future, we do it with the knowledge of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, which says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So we don't look back and say, man, I sure do miss the good old days. Because the God of the good old days is the God of today. And the Calvary of today does not look exactly the same as the Calvary of 1985. But the God of Calvary is the same God as the God of Calvary from 1985 and 86 and 87 and 2020 and 2025. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we look back, I want to look forward and just say, can we commit to loving Him and to loving others? And when the Spirit leads, I don't care how big it is, I don't care how small it is, can we just say yes? Can we just say yes? And then, 34 years from now, someone else can stand up here and say, to God be the glory, great things He has done. Let's pray. Lord, what an amazing thing to be able to do, to look back on what You have done, to even call to mind names and see faces of people who You have redeemed, people who You have brought back to Yourself, people that You have given strength to and helped, and just the way that You have worked. And Lord, again, I pray that through what has been done here this morning, the incredible song service and just the testimony from Your word, that the name of Jesus Christ might be exalted and lifted up. We praise in His name. Amen.